a little bit of Black Velvet to kick this K. Cole show off. Absolutely love those lyrics, quite poetic. And a fantastic singing voice of Alana Miles. Making sure she gets the full Monty, the full Wellington boot. Wouldn't it be amazing to sing like that? What a powerful voice. Thank you, Alana Miles, for kicking the K. Cole show off in fine style. So, good morning, that's the cake shop door flying open. And this morning, Mr. Colin Large has not only given me the most precious of cappuccinos, very beautifully made, thank you. He's also made a face cake. Wow. This is the last week of the Cake Hole show. I'm hanging my microphone up on Friday, but in my honour, he actually, whilst I was sleeping, took a little sort of indentation of my face, and so I'm looking at a cake with my face on it. Very interesting, Colin Large. Now, you're probably wondering what on earth Colin's going to be doing once Friday is done and dusted at the last show of the Cake Hole. More about that soon, but meantime, we've got Royal Blood for you. Mr. Martin Seeger, thank you for that. Apparently he heard it on Radio 4. That was very nice. So that was Royal Blood and All We Have Is Now. How true is that? So a very warm welcome to all our loyal Totnesian listeners. Thank you, Totnesians, who've put their radio on to 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. Hello. And to those in posh Dartington, hello, Darting. They're all very intelligent. They're like lecturers and poets and I don't know. They all walk around with dustbin lids on their heads. They do, I swear it. No, they don't. Now, look, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. That's good, isn't it? So we all can sort of look out for each other and ourselves. And that's what we do on community radio. So if you have clicked online and you're further afield, not in the local Devon area, but you might be in Cirencester or Cheltenham, or how about County Clare in Ireland? Or maybe you're miles and miles away in Budapest or Barcelona or Biarritz. You know that wherever you are, there's a lovely warm welcome here for you. And talking about warm welcomes, we have a fantastic guest this morning at 9:20, Mary Dalgleish. Woo! So I'm looking forward to connecting with Mary on Messenger at 9:20 for a lovely chat. So now, Colin Large, yes, what is he going to be doing? Well, he's getting married, apparently. Yes, one of our listeners, Daphne, has been in contact with him secretly all this time for the whole of the year that I've been doing the radio. I had no idea. Honestly, it's come as a dreadful shock to me. No more, he's moving out. No more cakes. No more doing the radio. I'll be lost. I'll have to hug my husband. Oh my God. It's time for the rather beautiful voice of bliss and 100,000 angels.
Do you?
Absolutely wonderful bliss. 100,000 angels. Indeed, there are 100,000 angels by my side. I can feel them. That's probably because I'm going to be connecting with Mary Dalgliesh at 9:20. And that particular song is going out especially for Mary. Because I want a very, very particular warm welcome for her. On this show today. Now, I bumped into Mary many moons ago in London. In fact, she's given me amazing treatments and I have studied with her as well. This is a little bit from her website. I became fascinated with aromatherapy, which helped alleviate my stresses and digestive problems. Indian head massage, which improved the condition of my hair. Facial rejuvenation, which did wonders for my skin and my self-esteem. Ear candling, which alleviated my ear problems, and reflexology, which had an overall balancing effect on my whole being from head to toe. So that's just a little bit about what Mary has been doing over the years. She's a lecturer, she's an author, she's everything, but she's actually a very thoroughly wonderful good egg. Now, let us have a little bit of... I think we need to bop, don't you? I think a little bit of... Yes, ABBA! Come on, let's boogie!
Dance.
Are you dancing? I hope so. A little bit of ABBA to get us in the mood. For our dancing queen, who is Mary Dudley, she'll kill me for that, won't she? Because we'll have to insist that she dances on the spot. So, her favourite quote on the website is, "Find a job that you love and you will never have to work a day in your life." Yay! Let me just give that many dings. Okay, so I love that quote. That is a great quote for life. So, find a job that you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. It's time. I can't multitask. I'm looking at a screen and I'm trying to get Messenger going. Right, okay, ABBA, thank you so much. That was Dancing Queen. Now it's time to do the Messenger thing. Get Mary on the line. Oh, I just managed to silence you. Good morning, Mary. Good morning. You are
Good morning, Julie.
You are live on 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. And we are
Oh my God.
We are delighted to have you on Community Radio. How are you doing this fine Cirencester morning?
Very well. It's raining here, but it's still lovely. I still love it, even though it's raining.
Now, you have just moved to this part of the world, and I loved it. We had a little conversation the other day, and you were telling me about your front door and your back door leading to parties. Well, obviously, socially distant connections. But this feels like an amazing place to land, Mary.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic. I mean, I'd lived in London for 35 years. I'd actually lived in the same house for 35 years.
That's amazing.
And it was really scary moving, even though it felt like the right thing to do.
Mm.
And I was very nervous, first of all, well, just a bit apprehensive. You know, first of all, are we going to find the right town to live in? Because I really wanted to live in a town. I like to be close to everything, not to have to get in the car if I want to go and buy something.
Yeah.
And also to find the right house to live in. So we sat down and we actually made a list of all the criteria, which is a really good idea, because actually I remember once reading this book and it was about life and about things that you want in life and just the importance of really focusing on what you want. And they were describing it a bit like if you go shopping, and I've done this, if you go to the supermarket without a list or if you go shopping anywhere without a list, you end up usually buying a whole load of crap.
Absolutely
because
true.
You don't really know what you want. So I found that very inspiring. And actually, I started doing that with things in my life that, you know, that I felt I wanted. And we did that with the house and, you know, just very, we want to be in a town. We want to be close to the center. We want to be able to walk to places. We want to, and certain things that we wanted about the house, certain elements that we wanted to have in the house. And also, I really felt like I wanted to be in a friendly community as well. When I was living in London, I was so busy working all the time. Even though I had nice neighbours, I just didn't get to know anybody. And I could go for months without even seeing my next door neighbour.
Isn't that crazy?
But because we were winding down work-wise, we just wanted to be in a place where it was friendly and where we would make friends as well. And we were looking in a few different places. We wanted to be close to the M4 because we drive to Ireland a lot because my mom lives in Ireland and I've got family there. And we drive up to Pembroke and get the ferry. So we wanted to be close to the M4. So we were looking at various towns. And then one day we just drove into Cirencester and parked our car and walked around. And everything about it just really hit me and I really loved it. It just felt like I'd come home.
Oh, wow.
You know when you go somewhere and you know it's the right place for you? So then we just focused our search on houses in Cirencester. And then last July, we came down and we started looking at places. And when we came into this house, it's in a little square just off a fairly close to the high street, but it's a nice quiet little square. And when we came into the square, I noticed everybody had tables and chairs outside their front doors and people were sitting outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed really friendly and everybody was really friendly with us. And then we walked into the house and sometimes my husband, Pat, and I, sometimes we like different things. And I was thinking, gosh, I hope we can agree on a house. Because it could be a bit problematic if he really likes something and I don't.
Mm.
But anyway, we walked into this house and we both just thought, yeah, this is it.
Isn't that fantastic, though?
Yeah. So that was the end of our search. So we put an offer in on the house and luckily we got it and we managed to sell our house quite quickly as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked out. And honestly, the day we moved in, we got so many neighbours calling around, dropping in cards and
so
giving
sweet.
Us their phone numbers. And yeah, it was really, really nice. And our front door opens. The house is built around, it's just a little development of about 30 houses built around two squares, one mm-hmm. at the front and one at the back. And our front door opens out onto one square and our back door opens onto the other square. So we've got to know everybody, you know, on each side. And in the evenings, if it's sunny, usually around 5 o'clock or 5:30, people come outside with a drink and sit around and have a chat before dinner. And it's just, it's amazing. It's really, really friendly.
I mean,
I can't walk out and go to the shops without meeting at least one person.
It sounds like you have really sort of landed so well and it feels to me you're really right placed, which is, as you said, after spending such a long time in the one place. And I wanted to kind of touch on where you used to live and how you ran your treatments from your home. I was saying earlier on, as an introduction to you coming on at 9:20, that I bumped into you and I remember having treatments with you and just, you sent me to heaven, basically. Facial rejuvenation, not just is it this amazing treatment that makes you feel like so completely relaxed and, you know, oh, but you come out looking so much younger. So what's not to love? Are you missing it at all? I noticed on your website, you said a really beautiful message you put up there. Thank you to all my loyal clients. And you're now retiring and off to live in Gloucestershire, which actually slightly made me feel like crying because it was so lovely. It was so touching that you'd written that. How does it feel, the distance between your last treatment and arriving in this new adventure, this new part of your life? Was it really the right time to give it all up, all the treatment?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've been so busy sorting things out in the house as well, painting. I'm actually getting a bit fed up with painting, wielding a paintbrush. We've almost finished, but we've had so much to do. And actually at Christmas, when I was in Ireland, I slipped on the ice and I fractured my wrist. So I wouldn't be able, you know, I wasn't able to do treatments anyway.
Sure.
But my wrist is healing. But when we get the house sorted out, I may look into working somewhere maybe one day a week or teaching courses. Because for years I travelled all over the place and also worked in London training therapists to do the natural facelift massage treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have quite a few therapists contacting me, asking me when I'm going to start teaching courses again.
Interesting.
So I'm just taking a break for this year. And when we get the house sorted out and finish painting, I'll have a think, you know, I think it will unfold. I feel that in my life, that's been the way in my life up to now, that things have sort of come my way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I end up doing what I'm meant to be doing. So I'm not a person to make plans, because I find sometimes if your plans are too rigid, that what life has got to offer you, you won't be able to see it. So mm-hmm. I'm more for listening to my intuition and waiting to see what happens and going with the flow. So I do feel I will be working again, because I absolutely love being a complementary therapist. And prior to that, I was a teacher. And it was great when I started work as a therapist to be able to start to use my teaching skills to teach other people. But so for years, I taught facelift massage, and I also taught anatomy and physiology in colleges to people who are training to be therapists. So, I'm not finished yet.
No, but actually, that's really interesting. And you've written so many books on the subject as well. So you clearly a font of knowledge. And I was just imagining, actually, you could do something on Zoom, couldn't you? You could become a teacher, so you don't actually even have to go anywhere. You could just literally teach all of it across the Zoom facility. And if you really wanted to, I bet you what happens is you, as you say, you're not making the plans. You will traverse this new land and this new adventure, and you'll say, work? What the heck's that? I'm not going back there. So now tell me a little bit about Ireland. Now, I know you have lots of brothers and sisters, and I'm actually quite jealous. Even though I come from a family of six, you are a family of 11. Oh, my giddy auntie. Yes. Tell me a little bit about your sisters and brothers, where they live, and who looks like you?
Oh, my God, I don't know. We all look different. Yeah, there are 11 of us, and I've got 7 sisters and 3 brothers. I remember once when my mom was over to visit, and I was sending her back to Heathrow in a taxi, and she phoned me later, and she was telling the taxi man how she had 11 children. He said, and all by the same man. My mom thought this was hilarious, you know, and I said, oh, well, mom, that's the way it is, you know, often over here. Well, you lived in rural Ireland, you know, yes, it probably would all be by the same man. She just thought it was very funny that he said that.
Absolutely. And in fact, your mum and dad lived to, well, your mum's still alive, but your father sadly passed, didn't he? But he was in his 90s, wasn't he, your dad?
Yes, he was 98 when he passed away.
Oh.
And he had a wonderful life. He was a teacher, and he met my mum when he came from Donegal in the north of Ireland to teach in the area where she lived. And he ended up as a lodger in her house.
Oh, gosh.
And that's how they met and got married. And he taught in the local primary school. So he was my teacher for several years when I was a child in primary school. And he was amazing. And I was just thinking now, it's so sad when someone passes away at the moment during COVID, when you can't have a proper funeral. Because I remember for my dad, we had like this big wake, and I hadn't been to a wake since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the undertaker, my parents had moved down the country, and the undertaker owned the local pub.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this house next to the pub where he helped, you know, the bodies were laid out and people came to see the person. And I remember my dad in the middle of this room in a coffin, and he had his favorite purple sweater on, but he had a tie around his neck. And I remember thinking, oh, my dad didn't really like ties, and I actually loosened his tie a little bit. But my sister and I arrived first because mum told us to be there to greet people. And we were whispering and being very quiet because I didn't know, you know, how are you supposed to be? Where's my dad? He's laid out here and people are going to come and see him. You know, is it going to be quiet? What's it going to be like? And people started arriving and it was totally raucous. You know, everybody was chatting and laughing and, you know, having a drink. And and at one stage, this lady piped up, isn't he a lovely corpse? And everybody started laughing, you know, and it was like a real celebration of his life, because all these people came that he taught many, many years ago, because he was a primary teacher for such a long time and he had so many ex-students. So from all over the country, all these ex-students were coming and everyone was paying their respects and talking about him. And it was absolutely lovely. It just felt like a real celebration of his life.
Absolutely, yeah. How's your mum? I know she has taken up art, which I thought was fantastic. How's your mum coping without him?
I think it was difficult for her at first. They had both moved to this nursing home in the local town, a really nice, small, friendly nursing home. And my mom is still there, but sadly she ended up in hospital yesterday because she wasn't feeling very well. But we're hoping, you know, that she'll be okay. So I have to ring later and find out how she is. But it was difficult for her. She definitely missed him, but in the home she has company, which is great because she's a real chatterbox and she loves company. And she started art classes when she was 90, and she'd never painted before. She said the only brush I ever used was a sweeping brush. When somebody asked her, had she ever painted before? And she's a real talent. So for the past 3 years at Christmas time, I've been making calendars with her paintings.
Oh, that's amazing.
And my sister puts them up on Facebook, and Mum is amazed, you know, that people on Facebook see her pictures. And she absolutely loved the art classes. But again, during the pandemic, they've stopped. She hasn't been able to have her art classes. But hopefully they'll start again. She'll be able to go.
What happens in your family when there's a fight? I'm just imagining these siblings. So there's 11 of you. Are you quite a peaceful mob? I'll call you a mob.
Actually, we are. We get on really well together. And I think one of the reasons we get on so well is that we don't see each other often. Because we live all over the place. I've got two brothers and three sisters living in the USA. Mm-hmm. And I've got a brother and sister and myself living in the UK, and the rest live in Ireland. So we're all over the place.
You're scattered.
We don't see each other very often. And I think that's probably why we get on so well.
That's
the secret.
We do chat
on Zoom, and we have Zoom chats with my mom as well. Mm-hmm. Which can be very interesting. You know, we try to do it once every couple of weeks, where we all get together on Zoom. And the problem is, when there are 11 of us and we all start talking, it can be a bit difficult. And also, you know, somebody has to try and control it. But the problem is that when we were all there on Zoom, my mum wasn't quite sure who was who, because she hasn't seen us for ages. And I would start talking and she was saying, is that Mary? Is that Anya?
Oh. I'm sure it's
pretty. It's having smaller Zoom calls with her. With
yes.
Three or four of us at a time.
And it can be confusing, can't it? So now with your new adventure in Gloucestershire, do you think there are ideas in your mind about maybe writing a novel? Because clearly, you know, you're a published author. Do you have like little sort of exciting dreams that you want to fulfil in terms of this new adventure you stepped into?
Well, one thing I'm definitely going to do, when we were sorting out all our stuff to move, I'd been teaching anatomy and physiology for about 20 years, and I had so many teaching notes. Mm. And I thought, what am I going to do with all this? And I had all these presentations on my computer. So I decided, why not write a book? So that's what I did during lockdown last year. I wrote a book called Know Your Body, The Essential Guide to Human Anatomy and Physiology. And I published that last November, and it's
That's
actually
brilliant.
Doing really well. So now what I'm going to work on, an online course to go with the book. And I'm also going to do it as an audio book. I'm much better at writing nonfiction than fiction, I think, because I love researching things and looking them up. And yeah, I don't know. I would love to be able to write a novel. I love reading novels, and I think anyone who can write a novel is just so amazing.
So clever,
but
isn't it?
Somehow, I don't think that's me. I'm a very sort of practical person, and analytical, and I'm not. I don't think I've got a brilliant imagination.
Well, you don't know yet.
I don't know. Maybe I will write a steamy novel.
Now, We're going to be running out of time. We've got a minute left, but I just wanted to ask you, because I put up on Facebook, find a job that you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. Now, clearly, you have lived this because I've worked with you. I've been one of your students. I've actually enjoyed and loved your treatments that you've given me. You have lived by this and you've earned a really good living. So is there anything that you'd want to say to anyone listening out there who is perhaps starting their career? Because I just think that quote is marvellous and I think it really rings true to me as well.
I would say if you find yourself stuck in a rut doing something that you really don't want to do, have a really good think about what you do want to do and just go and do it, because life goes by so quickly.
Doesn't it?
And I found when I started listening to my heart and following my heart and following my gut feelings, that things started coming my way and things started happening. And it was actually really scary at first. But the more you trust in life, I think the more life will give you. And also I found gratitude is a very powerful thing. I remember going through a hard time in my life and somebody was talking about, you know, keeping a gratitude journal, which I thought, well, I have nothing to be grateful for. But then I started writing down every evening three things I was grateful for. And honestly, I just found that the more you say thank you, the more you get. It's like somebody giving you a present. If you are grateful, they'd be more inclined to give you more.
Oh, thank! What a fantastic note to end this interview on. Mary Douglas, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I wish you great adventures and happiness. And I'm sure our paths will cross.
Oh, definitely. We have to meet in person.
We will meet in person.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie.
Lots and lots of love, Mary.
Great to talk to you.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. The wonderful Mary Dalgleish. And she really did live that quote, find a job that you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. She makes everything feel so easy. And I love that. Let's have some Fields of Gold.
You remember me when the west wind moves among the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while among the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her hair came down among the fields of gold. Will you stay with me? Will you be my love among the fields of barley? And you tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. I never made promises lightly, and there have been some that I've broken, but I swear in the days still left we'll walk in fields of gold. We'll walk in fields of gold. still left, we'll walk in fields of gold. We'll walk in fields of gold.
Wonderful Eva Cassidy and Fields of Gold. I've just looked in my face cake. I could do with facial rejuvenation. Mary, where are you when I need you? I can tell you something. Those treatments, and you can do it to yourself, which is a good thing. So try and find a book, preferably written by Mary Dalgliesh, on facial rejuvenation and go for it. I'm going to start doing it again. Yesterday, we had Joshua Siegel on the programme, and he is a kids' poet, and he writes poetry for adults too. And I read this poem, but I love it so much, I've got to have it again. It's like, you know when you love a good song? Well, it's like that. So it's by Roger McGough, and it's called The Magic Pebble. My favourite thing is a pebble that I found on a beach in Wales. It looks like any other, but its magic never fails. It does my homework for me, makes difficult sums seem clear. School dinners taste delicious. It makes teachers disappear. It turns water into lemonade, a bully into a frog. And when I'm in need of company, it becomes a friendly dog. 1, 2, 3 and whoosh! You're in a foreign land. Space travel is so easy. Simply hold it in your hand. Close your eyes and make a wish, and wish your wish come true. For the magic in this pebble has been waiting here for you. You see, I think that alludes to Mary Dalgliesh's words about think about what you really want to do in life. Get your magic pebble and make clear wishes. And then this is the second poem that I read yesterday, which again I love as well. It's written by Ian Royce Chamberlain, and it's called Phoebe's Ambition. Phoebe's Ambition. I'm going to live in a lighthouse, Phoebe said, with chandeliers, but only when I'm big. It was the certainty which threw me. Little nodding head, wide-eyed, such gravity. Chandeliers, I said, and asked what she knew of chandeliers. How big, how glittery, how bright. Her face took on that faraway look of a 3-year-old who's not quite sure. I started to explain about chandeliers. She interrupted. What's a lighthouse? Love it. Here's a little bit of Tori and the Cornflake Girl.
Never was a cornflake girl, thought that was a good solution, hanging with the raisin girls. She's gone to the other side, giving us a yo-yo. Things are getting kind of gross, and I go at sleepy time. This is not really, this is not really happening. You bet your life it is. You bet your life it is. With my encyclopedia, they must have paid her a nice price. She's putting on her stupid love. This is not really, this is not really happening. You bet your life it is. You bet your life.
Love that song, The Cornflake Girl and Tori Amos. So Siren Sister has rain and Devon has blue sky with clouds. It's looking nice though. Where'd you put the keys, Gail? So a little bit of Tori Amos to take us up to farewell time, really. I have had a lovely time. Thank you so much for letting me run this programme at Sound Art Radio. Thank you, because it has been an amazing privilege to be with you over this last year. I've loved it. And what will I do without you? I'll have to just go sort of dancing in the streets of Totnes around the time of 9 o'clock. So that's what I'll be doing. I'll be on the streets of Totnes dancing, showing my knees to everybody and being a little bit silly, no doubt, knowing me. So Mary Dalgleish, thank you so much for being on our programme today. It was so lovely to talk to you and connecting with you. And I love what you said about the gratitude list, that when you're having a bit of a hard time in your life, someone suggested you write 3 things every day before you go to bed that you are you appreciate in your life. And what a wonderful and powerful thing to do. I'm definitely going to restart that. I have done it along the way. Here's a little bit of Poe to take us up to the time of 10 o'clock, which is the farewell time. Let's see if I can come and say goodbye to you then. Haunted and Poe, never heard of her before, P-O-E. Really like her voice and I like that song. So it just is me saying ta-da, ta-da Totnes, ta-da Dartington. See you tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye.